new our agenda. I hope every vote is of the agenda is going to be submitted to every vote. So we start with the second vote, but before we go into the session, I'd like to take this opportunity to acknowledge the apology of the Honorable Members, Honorable Ray, is attending constituency work, Honorable Kuka attending another meeting, Honorable Kelsey attending organizational commitment, Honorable Makanga leaving a Kura family responsibility. These are the apologies that we have received. And Honorable Maloy, I join up my mouth because the room is existing, so you might not be here, you might be here. So we'll wait to see whether it's coming. And Honorable Kim will be leaving us around 10 to 11 to another meeting. From the department, we have following people: Mr. Mlengani, the Director General, accompanied by his DDGs and Chief Directors. You're welcome, Honorable Members and the team. As I've indicated, our agenda will start with the briefing by the department on the 2018-19 second quarter performance and expenditure report. Minister and the team.
Sorry. Thanks. Good morning, Honourable Members. I will allow the DG to lead the process and choose whoever is going to present, if not himself. Thanks.
Okay, DG, because we have three items on the agenda, and all of them, they must have ample time to for discussion. I think we should start with the second quarter, and I'll honourable members, if it suits you, can we allow all the presentations so that when we discuss, we have discussion, we have had all the presentations. Just by 1 o'clock, we must finish. Can we agree on that, Honorable Pandale?
Yes, Chairperson, as long as we just make sure that there is enough time to interact with them, that we don't have the presentations and then there is no time for questions.
Okay. No, that's why I'm trying to manage that, Honorable Pandale. I think it's 10 to 10, 10 to 11, and then 11:30, we must finish with all the presentation so that members can have enough interaction with the report. DG?
Good morning, Chair, Honorable Members, Minister and DM, colleagues. Maybe, Chair, let me just start by an apology on some of the issues we noted last night or last evening, specifically on destruction, the details that we asked thereof. In presenting that structure this morning to the Minister and DM, it became clear that there are gaps that we need to fill on that, specifically when it comes to fisheries. To determine how far is that process gone. So the request was this, that perhaps what we would do is to, one, request the Honorable Chair and the Honorable Members to give us time to polish up that structure. And there's a lot of things that are happening there in terms of addressing the critical vacancies, abolishing some and why we're abolishing those. However, the concern arose as to how do we deal with duplications. How do we deal with fisheries? and we felt that that process has not manifested itself in good qualitative results. So to come and present it here right now, it would be premature. So my principal requested that we withdraw that one. We request to withdraw that one until we've got a complete structure. However, fisheries at this point is hanging in there, and yet there was a position that was taken that perhaps we drive it towards it being an independent entity, and that is the process we're driving on right now. So we requested to withdraw this structural question, particularly as a result also of the questions that Chair were asked as of last night.
That should not be the reason that you have asked the question last night. We were responding to your presentation, which actually excluded issues that were raised by the portfolio committee in the last meeting that we had with you. So it's important that issues that have been raised in meeting, when the department come back to the meeting, must bring those things along. It doesn't have to be new things, leaving those things that we've raised previously. I don't have a problem, honorable members. Can we agree to withdraw the structure, the issue of the structure and the notes? But I must indicate to the Minister and DM that this is for the second time you withdraw this agenda on the table.
Is it all these documents?
Yes. The organogram, organizational structure, it must be two. Can I? The actual structure and the presentation, Honorable Sandana.
Is it the presentation?
No, you're making noise. Go to the member and assist him. Thank you very much. We are now going to allow the department to take us through the second quarter report of 2018-2019. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair.
There are three presentations, DG. So all of them, they must got time, but you must remember 11:30, all of them, they should have been finished, including the ARC, so that members can interact with your report. Thank you. Yes.
In line with that request, Chair, we, on the quarter two validated report, I would like to request the members to go to slide 10, the previous slide. They talked to the purpose, the different programs, all the stuff that we believe the Honorable Chair and the Honorable Members are familiar with. So given the request that the Chair is making, I would rather go straight to the performance, the actual target versus actual, which is contained in slide 10. Yes, that one. Go back. That one. Chair, the target is the MTSF. That is 14-15, 15-16, 16-17, 17-18. Now we are on the last year. The target on the MTSF, which is 5 years, was 300 jobs had to be created. As of year-to-date, as of Q2 year-to-date, we have created 857,000, just above 857,000 jobs. Most of these jobs are coming from land care, with specific reference to employment in rural areas. So there has been a reduction in unemployment in those areas that we have targeted. And if the request is made that we provide the details, which is what we have done, we shall provide those. We also busy, Chair, in anticipation of quarter three, busy bringing up CASP and ILIMA jobs that have been created and the impact thereof. Those will just increase that number only to three. The other target was 1 million hectares of unutilized land to be put under production. Year to date, we've done about 2 million, just above 2 million. And that reduced the number of hectares transferred to previously disadvantaged individuals on underutilized land. We had to support 80,000 smallholder farmers, just above 245 smallholder farmers have been supported. Yeah, 245,000, just about 10 GM. That increased the percentage ownership of productive land. And it's an anticipation that this impact would lead to higher food security as a result of the use of unutilized land for production. We had to rehabilitate about 152 hectares, almost 153,000. We have done up year to date just above 179,000. And that includes the improvement in natural resources, and their forests have played a significant role where some major forests, for example in Nisna and in some areas, have been destroyed by fires. And we have rehabilitated those forests year to date. And of course, as we do that, we plant new ones biologically. We find new trees, and that allows for more jobs also. We also improve food security. 1.6 household help to benefit from nutritional initiatives and food security. Year to date, and it is verified, we have done 17 million in 5 years. That's a reduction in the percentage of households vulnerable to hunger. There is the SAVAC survey on vulnerable groups, and pretty much a survey that sort of reacts to or works hand in hand with GetSA on specific pockets of land or societies in which our people go to bed without food. Specifically, 13 million people who go to bed without food in KZN and in the Eastern Cape. The current business plan of CASP and ILIMA is addressing that. That's basically what the MTSF we have done concerning the MTSF. Now, if we were to look specifically, because that was just the background to understanding the global picture of performance year to date defined in the context of the MTSF. Now, if you look at Q2, we have done pretty much well. I mean, the target was sitting at 67,067. The milestone for Q2 was 55. That which is in progress and has gone over to Q3 is 9. We have completed 46 in this quarter. I'm sorry, quarter 2. That gives us a percentage of 84. See, I'm tempted to not get into details on this, because it is summarized in the slide up there. But if I were to check the time and run over it, it talks to risk register. It talks to risk-based internal audit plan. And these are things that guide us and give us a view of the nature of the risks in the environment in which we perform. And then it can determine whether we become risk-averse or we can become aggressive. And also we have developed a risk register for CASP and ILIMA, which is very important to us. 2018-19 Q1 report approved by the audit committee. That report has come up which is internal audit plan as a target. Internal audit plan report approved by the audit committee. We have got a very strong external audit committee that seeks to verify everything we do. So they approve for them to approve a plan is something we consider an achievement. And the major issue also is the business continuity plan. When a disaster strikes, are we able to, is business able to continue? We have developed that plan, and all these directories have also looked at how that business plan, that business continuity plan would impact on the lives of our people as business continues. Then the rest is really, I don't want to bore this committee about the narrative as far as talking about the firewalls, the reconfiguration of the firewalls. I think the most important thing is the impact of the plans that we do. Stakeholder engagement on page 15, we're busy with that. I can just mention that, unfortunately, because we're strengthening the structure, the chief director of communication, we've advertised that post right now, and as we did with others, is going to drive the stakeholder. It's critical that the stakeholder know what we're doing. We've discovered that most people do not have a clue about what DAF is about. Only the internal people do. So it's critical that we continue with the COO's forum, the committee, the minister service delivery, very informative to service delivery forum. When we went to the Cape, we saw how BEE is working, and when and the articulation by the committees, by the communities, of their appreciation of interacting with ministry in particular, because key stakeholders were there, and we saw BEE in practice where previously disadvantaged people were owning higher percentages in some businesses. Let me just go to the critical one, Chair, and I know it keeps on coming, and I really want to settle it now so that I'm clear. On page 8, on page 19, the KYD. We are working with the ARC on the KYD, which is slide 19. And I think what we have done now is the payment of the, I was told that we cannot pay the 80 million that is owed by us to the AFC. I have just written an instruction that that money be paid, and I was told by National Treasury that they will do it in May. So that the beginning of the new financial year. So we'll be paying everything owed to the AFC. I tried that it be paid as soon as possible, but there was, if we take from CAF, there is a DORA Act that dictates that we don't take what was not in the original business plan. There were a lot of narratives. But I do know that we have been depressing the ARC on this issue. And I can assure you, Chair, as I have done when we had a meeting in the ARC establishment up in Pretoria North, that we will pay the ARC. And we all have agreed, my principals have agreed with us on that. We have been doing quite a lot of work around analyzing surveillance results. We are doing surveillance results, documenting them and reporting and compiling them on a number of things. We report on regulatory interventions that have been implemented, such as quarantine, inspections, and surveillances. We have got those reports with us. The most important was also the notification to applicants on approved placements for CCF veterinarians, these community-based veterinarians. We have deployed about 178 applicants already in this program, and we are just trying to look at the profile of these doctors. Who are these vets? And for me, that's very critical, because the admission by University of Pretoria seems to be pretty much restrictive. I have noticed the profile reflects quite a lot of white veterinarians, and we want to change, that profile. Community-based indigenous goat conservation projects in Mabon and Vemba district monitored. Community-based indigenous goat conservation project in Mabon was monitored and a report has been compiled. This is significant. There is a target that is coming up that Saudi Arabia wants about 1 million goats a year. And we seem to be instructed to follow that direction, goat breeding. And we are embarking on that process. That's slide 21. I'm just looking at stuff that I believe is significant. Quarterly report on national food and nutrition security interventions developed. Yes, we have developed this report. The interventions have been developed. Needs analysis for 2019-2020 intake of graduates needs to be conducted. Yes, we have conducted those internships. Draft 5-year status report on national police on extension and advisory services. A draft 5-year status report on national on this extension service has been compiled. My favorite, the black commercialization program. We are on that program. We are putting black. We have already identified, Honorable Chair, all the black farmers in each province that needs to be commercialized. We juxtapose our business, our strategy and APPs to that. And also, as we said, we are putting the model on the financing of these black people on the business plan, the grant and loan. Blended finance. We have specifically requested, and we still need to brief our principals in detail about this, that blended finance will address the black commercialization. We are going to ring fence finances together with the land bank and other banks to ensure that there is continued funding of these black commercial farmers until they can get both the certificate to Global Gap and SA Gap. Slide 24, we're talking about 26,000 hectares which need to be planted for food production. Then 7 hectares are fully verified to have been planted. Validation has not been completed to ascertain if 180 hectares reported have been placed. We still need to validate that, and the outcome will be reported in Q3. 9,000, just above 9,000 smallholder producers need to be supported. We, year to date, we have supported about 440 producers in Limpopo and 13 in Mpumalanga. Smallholders have been supported. These 453 producers have been supported largely with mechanization and tangible support. It's interesting to note that in Mpumalanga, the youth is employed to repair. The unemployed educated youth has been employed to be mechanics on tractors that are not working well, and we congratulated the province for doing so. Just above 61,000 households have to be supported with agricultural food initiatives. We've done about 1,192 households have been supported. I think I need to summarize. Fundamentally, Chair and Honourable Members, there has been good progress on this quarter, with the exception of few areas that we need to improve in, and particularly our monitoring area. Our monitoring and evaluation systems need to be put in place. To that effect, I'm happy to report that we have appointed now, we have published and appointed the monitors and evaluators for CASP, and that is going to ensure that we keep all our projects in check. I think, Chair, without wasting your time, I will stick there. I'm not going to go per program. It's going to take more time. It's just a repeat of what I've been talking about in much more detail. And I would like to end there, Chair, with your permission.
Thank you, DG. Can we then have the ARP?
Come in.
Thank you, Chair, Minister, Deputy Minister, Honourable Members. I have with me Ms. Manyama, our Chief Financial Officer, who will give the update on the Audit Improvement Plan. Presentation, but just as by way of a summary, Chair, there have been progress on a number of key areas that are very important, and work is still ongoing, and that will be reflected in the presentation. Some of these issues are delayed by procurement processes, and others are simply delayed by the fact that in some instances we're still waiting for certain approvals to come from somewhere such as National Treasury and so on. CFO.
Thank you. I will start from slide number 7 because slide number 1 to 6 were presented that before. The slide that I'll be starting on is the audit improvement plan intervention, the table. The first intervention was to revise the delegation of authority framework for all the senior employees, senior managers, including executives, and also revising the performance agreements. We wanted to include section 57 of the PFMA, which talks to responsibilities by other public officials. We have done that. That has since been completed. The second intervention was to review the job profiles for the finance people, because currently finance is decentralized, but there are certain functions that are centralized. That is ongoing. The job profiles for the senior people within finance are being amended, hence it's yellow. On the financial statements, because the bulk of the audit findings are relating to the financial statements, we have done interim financial statements, which covered the 6-month period ending 30th of September 2018. We have since submitted that to internal audit for internal audit to review to assess if the issues that were raised by the Auditor General have been addressed. We are currently busy reviewing the report from the internal audit, but with regard to the issues that were raised by the AG on the prior errors, the finance team is still busy resolving that, and hence it's currently yellow. On the asset management, the policy for asset management was developed and submitted and approved by Council late last year. the standard operating procedures were developed. They have been approved. Currently, we are still busy with the asset verification process and also the process of appointing a service provider and also cleaning up the fixed asset register as was highlighted by the AG. So the reason why it's red is because the work is still yet to be done, and hence we just put it in red. But we will be able to provide feedback at the end of March. And as the organization, we have developed a lot of policies between June 2018 to date. And to date, the policies that have been approved by Council includes the supply chain management policy, contract management, the credit management policy, irregular expenditure, asset management, accounts payable, and also petty cash. And we had a lot of standard operating procedures that were approved internally within the delegation of management. And they are listed there under 5.2. We also have policies that are going to Council this week. Our council meeting is scheduled for the 28th of Feb. Those ones include S&T, inventory management, cash and investment, project accounting, and one amendment on the credit management policy. There was a provision which talks to the raising of bad debts for government debt. So the initial principle was not in line with the generally recognized accounting practice, and the AG has issued a finding on that. We are correcting that finding, and hence there's an amendment to the credit management policy. On the receivables, the policy was approved, as I mentioned. The standard operating procedures were approved as well. DAF has already mentioned the issue of the long outstanding receivables. Out of the balance for our debtors, the bulk of the money is the one that is due by DAF, which is estimated at 80 million. But we also have other accounts or customer accounts that are relating to the old financial systems that we have used, which was ACFIN, and also the issues of credit checks and limits. So these are ongoing, and hence we've put them at red. But they are currently ongoing. On the supply chain management side, there was an issue raised about the contract register. That has since been developed. It's currently existing for the organization. There was also an issue regarding the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We are currently investigating those individual cases. They date back to 2016, and we will be getting the necessary approvals from Council as and when we finalize that. But we are aiming to finalize that by the end of this month. In terms of the irregular expenditure, the bulk of the irregular expenditure was as a result of the over expenditure by the ARC for the third financial period. The request for condonation has been sent to National Treasury, and we're still awaiting feedback in that regard. And we also had other irregular expenditure that needed to be condoned by Council. That will be tabled at the next meeting, which is this week on the 28th of Feb 2019. The fruitless and wasteful expenditure cases I've already mentioned. Work is underway, and hence it's still red. Contract register do exist. And as the organization, we are currently busy with the IT project to re-implement our ERP system. The reason why it's red is because the work is still underway. The effective or go-live date is planned for the 8th of April 2019. It has since changed from the 1st. But the governance processes have since been improved. Supervisors have since been appointed, and the training, which was a gap on the last system, is still being addressed. Then there was an issue regarding the consequence management, especially relating to irregular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Some of the cases within the irregular expenditure relates to people that have since left the employ of the ARC. But for those ones that are relating to employees within the ARC, the work is still underway. They are not yet finalized. And initially we had planned to train the senior and executive management committee members on the basics of management, internal controls and delegation of authority framework, and also finance for leaders. So that is still underway. We are hoping to get internal audit to be able to assist us on that. On the supply chain management training, we are in contact or in conversation with the National Treasury. They will be assisting us on that. With the training on finance for the finance team, we have decided to defer that to the next financial period. The reason being, currently the same people are busy with the implementation of the AX system, which is our ERP system. They're equally busy with correcting the audit findings that have been raised previously by the Auditor General. So hence we have deferred the training on finance to the next financial period. And there were findings that were raised on HR-related matters. We had an audit finding relating to the non-compliance with the AFC leak policy. The reason why it's yellow is because that can only be ascertained when the audit is done. It's an ongoing matter and also similarly applies to the overtime approval. It's only when the audit is done that you'll be able to get the feedback in terms of whether the leak policy has been adhered to. Then there was also an issue raised regarding the acting policy. The standard operating procedures were developed and were approved by the Executive Management Committee and published accordingly, and that it has since been completed. With regard to the subsistence and travel advances, we're currently sitting with staff debtors of 14 million, which is a high amount. The individual letters of demand have since been issued to employees to reconcile and their outstanding advances and also pay back the ARC where in they owe the ARC. The matter is not yet resolved. It is still ongoing. But equally, we do have outstanding S&T advances on people that have left the employ of the ARC. This one, we are approaching it twofold. We will be drafting letters to those people, but equally, we have requested internal audit to audit this process because there has been an oversight in terms of the process that should have been followed either by finance or HR. We are still establishing where the accountability lies so that we can be able to correct that going forward. Another area of qualification was the WIP and the goods received note, what you call GRN project. The AFC got the financial management support from a service provider who has since helped us to identify the and quantify the errors that were within these two accounts. That work by the consultants has since been done, hence it's green. But equally, there are some corrections that we need to process on the general ledger for both the WIP account and the GRN. That process is currently underway. The deadline for the team to correct everything is the end of Feb, which is this week. There was also an audit finding regarding the late submission of the procurement plan by the ARC. We have currently planned, based on the financial year 2019-2020, to submit the procurement plan before the 31st of March because that is the deadline. We are currently planning that in terms of the business plan that we've got that we've drafted for 2019-20, and also from there we'll be able to develop the procurement plan and be able to submit on time. And obviously the issues that have been raised that resulted in a delay during the last financial period will be corrected during this process. Another audit finding within procurement was relating to the non-submission of deviations above R1 million to the National Treasury. I can confirm that this has been resolved and is currently. Then the next thing was the review of the accounting policies. That is being. That is being planned to be finalized by end of this week. We are currently reviewing the accounting policies in line with the Directive 5 that has been issued by the Accounting Standard Board as well as the National Treasury. Then there were audit findings relating to the audit of predetermined objectives. The first one was the amendment to the business plan. The approval from the minister has since been obtained and hence it's green. That has been achieved. And the one that is in progress is relating to the KYD in terms of obtaining the ID copies of the participants and making sure that the information, their personal information is verified. That is currently underway. There was an audit finding regarding the committee remuneration. That is planned to be addressed at the next council meeting, which is the 28th of Feb, and hence it's still red. And there were a couple of audit findings within the IT space. The one that is not yet resolved is the issue regarding the security management, that is red. And the reason being the tender and the cash management procedure document will only be finalized after the year end, and hence it's red. But the other ones are green, and the last one that has been partially resolved is the issues relating to the facilities and environmental control. Basically, I can confirm, last time we said we highlighted some critical success factors. First one was the having the updated policies and procedures. I can confirm that that has been achieved. It will be fully achieved by the 28th when we get the approval from Council. Then the upgrading of the accounting system. This is underway, as I mentioned. We are going live on the 8th of April, but going forward, we are hoping that all the issues that we had with the old system will not be repeated in the new system, and we are working hard at that and making sure that the teams that are involved or that are using the system are properly trained and that the governance process is also being implemented or executed throughout the whole process. We have improved in terms of the monthly reporting process and the monitoring, especially within finance, and there is improved cooperation and collaboration within the ARC. The issues of the defined roles and responsibilities, as I mentioned, is currently underway. It will be finalized by end of this month. And the issues of compliance to prevailing policies and procedures, this is ongoing. But equally, we will be training all the finance people on the policies and procedures that have been approved during the current financial period. And the issues of consequence management and all that, these are currently being ongoing. And we are following up together with the HRS Finance to make sure that any issues relating to cases relating to the irregular expenditure and success and wasteful expenditure are attended to. The last one is that issue, that's only issue regarding the debt from DAF, that's plus minus 80 million. Basically, we are requesting the support in that regard. We have that money paid. Thank you.
Thank you, ARC. Fisheries.
You will fight, I think you're fighting on this. We felt that the Marine Living Resource Fund findings of the ARC, the Auditor General, the principals felt that we cannot present that here without that having been presented to them. And therefore request that though the information is available, we felt that they requested that we can present that until they've got an audience to it.
Can I expand, Chairperson? I would like to apologize to the committee for this request here. The report is here, but we believe that the report should explicitly be committed to say, if we say by March this will be done, it is what is going to be done. Because compliance is not only to put dates and figures, it is to ensure that the issues you put down are what, because with the issue, you want to use these metrics as a way by which we can avoid repeated findings. So when I checked with, it seems the report came late, and we have not been able to go through it properly. But I leave it to the committee to decide, but my view was that I don't think it is a report that would assist us going forward.
Minister, who developed the report? Who developed this report? Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. Good morning, Honorable Minister and Deputy Minister, the DG and the colleagues. Chair, unfortunately, and I put my head on the block on this one, I will slightly differ with my principals. It is not correct to do so, I may, because I think we need to clarify the issue here, Chair. The audit report that is before the Portfolio Committee today is a report that was concluded at the time I was on suspension. At the time the director or the CFO of the MRLF was on suspension. When I look through the report, I notice that the report is not accurate in a number of things. So I think it will be inappropriate for us to present to Parliament some things that we know are not true that are in the report. Unfortunately, Chair, this is the position we find ourselves in the department, unfortunately, and in particular the branch fisheries. We are a branch that is in a meltdown, and I think we are a department that is in a meltdown. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Madela, Honorable Sandana. And members must tell me what we are discussing on, because we have not actually finalized the report. Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chair. Minister, DM, DG, my comrades and colleagues, as members of Parliament and everyone else, Chair. I think we should have stayed with the request from the department as elaborated by the minister, saying that this report still needs to go through them as the principles, the political principles, Chair. I think we must just do that, and it's actually, I could say, regrettable that the DG did not present it in the beginning as he did in relation to the other report that was withdrawn. This should have been done then also, Chair. We do not wish at this point in time, Comrade Minister, that any dirty linen must be washed here, Chair. We certainly would want a report that is presented here must be owned by the principals, by the executive, Chair. Let us just stick to that, Chair. Thank you very much. I do not have a problem in relation to the request for the report to be taken back and not presented here today, Chair.
Honorable Sandana.
Yes, thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I did go through the report. There are quite glaring issues in here that needs to be addressed. If you look at the report, the Department of Fisheries is in big trouble. And by postponing it all the time is not going to help it. So I think we should engage with the report and I don't know if nobody wants to own up as to writing the report, it's difficult to do that. But there are issues in here, I mean, that are very serious and we need to deal with it. Can we then decide that next week it will be here? I mean, so we give them a week's time. I mean, Parliament is rising. This is one of the glaring issues that this Portfolio Committee has not dealt with. In our term, Chairperson, and I feel that we are renegating on our responsibility on oversight not to do that. So if we can deal with it next week, then I would have no problem in giving them another week. But the issues in the report are very important, and we need to deal with it. We can't just let it slide and hope somebody else will solve it. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Fandang. But the issue is there is no vote who's own up on the report. Even if you want to deal with it, it will not be helpful. I think let's agree on next week as we are indicating, that they must bring the report back, and department should help us. Even if a person was on suspension, DPG, when you come back, the person who was who was in charge of the department at that time must hand it over. There must be that process of saying, I've handed it over, and then you go through the reports, and then you then correct where you wanted to correct on all those things. So it's not a, it doesn't give this department a good picture. Every now and then, reports being withdrawn, being taken back by the portfolio committee. It doesn't give the good picture of the department. So we agree, honorable members, will put it the report for next week with the other ones that we have taken back here. DG?
Thank you, Chair. The last one, Chair, is NEHA. On NEHA, we have all the employees below management have been transferred to ARC, and the Chief Executive Officer and the Chief Financial Officer are integrated, have been integrated into DAF, and that's Mr. Tikiman and Ms. Kwalela. As for the disciplinary process, the disciplinary process of the Chief Executive Officer who raised his salary, and the DDG that approved that we have taken it with the state attorney, and for them to appoint a relevant legal person to deal with the hearing. But we are almost closing it, Chair. That is the only leg. We have transferred to the ARC 6 million. We are also going to audit that 6 million before the end of the financial year. It does so that we can do a deregistration of NEHA. That's basically the story around NEHA.
Okay, thank you very much. Honorable members, that was the report. Minister?
One question. I think we need to update the issue of the Naizna forestry. I could see the Honorable Van Dalen when the report was given, checking on his phone. It has been shown that due to regular fires, that forest is difficult to call it a forest anymore. We are in debate. I think we will be debating it so that we look at the future of Naizna, because most of the trees have been destroyed beyond any revival, or you think we can revive it anymore. So I wanted us to correct that. No. I'm saying that is a report I got. I wondered before you could raise it as a miss, because my report was only last week. So I want to update that report to say that the report I got last week, because remember, that forest has been, under fire on continuous basis. But the report I'm sure you are having on the final level, I mean, is that the forest is difficult to call. I even received a letter from the provincial premier to that effect, and I followed out to find that it is true.
I was not started questions, Honorable Van Dalen. Chair of Audit Committee, you want to say something on the report?
Yes, I do, Chair. Chair, thank you first for the slot. Chair, just to indicate that the structure itself, the audit committee, is operational, and that it sits on its scheduled sittings, and that we have no quorum issues, and that we are able to adhere to the terms of reference, our charter for undertaking oversight services over the work of the department. We've also, Chair, processed both reports, performance reports, the quarter two performance report. We met recently, I think as early as last week, to process the quarter three performance report. Chair, generally, the areas I'm going to highlight are areas that we continue to engage with the department, are areas of concern, areas where we emphasize that measures be strengthened to address them. The first area, Chair, is around the value for money, particularly in the grants area, especially the CASP area. We recently undertook an internal audit exercise of the department that was undertaking a performance review of the grant program. I think challenges peaked there are not only relating to the area of control and M&E, but some of them, in fact, point a finger to the very core of the program, in that some of the applicants with support may not be in a position to operate sustainable agricultural enterprises. And hence, both visits would indicate that a number of projects that we supported in the various provinces are not where they should be. Chair, we also engage continuously with the department around the attention paid to risk management. We think that risk management is key at the department, considering the kind of risks that the department is faced with that could potentially have hazardous impact on both the economy and the industry, agriculture, forestry and fisheries. So it's an area we engage with. And the area of litigation is an area we also engage with the department. We've observed in the last 2 years an increase in the number of cases brought against the department. Once more, our reports and engagement with the department attend to this. The last area, Chair, I want to highlight relates to the area of funding and reprioritization of resources, which is another challenge, in that the department has critical areas that are not adequately funding, which impacts on its ability either to manage and prevent some risks or to exploit opportunity in some of the areas. But, Chair, in conclusion, we've processed the performance information report. We have had opportunities to engage with the executive authority as well as the executive of the department on the issues we pick, and we continue, Chair, to work with the department to pursue better governance within the department. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members, that was the report. You are invited to interact with the report. Honourable Fandane, Honourable Mandela, and Honourable Rapo.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. It was that I picked up that the DG was telling us that the burnt forests were all rehabilitated, and I know I get emails from people that say it's not true. And thank you for clarifying that, but I mean, surely the information that's given to the portfolio committee should be correct. I mean, if I didn't have a look and see that it was not true, then now I wonder about the rest of the information, you know, Chairperson, it puts my doubt in there. So then I want to go to the presentation of this morning and interact with it. And I want to talk on the draft aquaculture and development bill. It says here the aquaculture bill is undergoing parliamentary approval process. I just want to know where that is. And they keep saying, they keep following up on page 40 from Parliament where this is. Do we know that this bill is here? Is it coming to us? When is it coming? Will it be before the election? Will it not? Because this is a very important part of the development of that sector. So, I mean, our times are few now. We don't have a lot of time, and we can't leave unfinished work. And then I see on page 36, they talk about FRAP 2020. Now, you know, Chairperson, I think we were told at the last meeting that FRAP 2020 will not happen. What is the current status? And then how are we going to make sure that this 10 billion rand industry does not go down the tubes. I mean, are we going to, I think section 18 of the MLRF states that we can't just extend the time, or, so then the people won't be able to catch that if the FRAP 2020, which is very, very important with the allocation of those rights, if that doesn't happen. And then also at the last meeting we were told under the large pelagics that the catching of the bluefins, we were granted the 450 tons bluefin quota by other countries. I would like to know how much of that bluefin has been caught. You know, we can't have an industry where the allocation for South Africa is 300 times more or 300% increase, and then we only increase the total allowable effort with only 20%. I mean, who's going to catch all this fish? And if we don't catch it, we're going to lose it. Or next year it gets carried over and it becomes 700 tons. Then we have even a bigger problem. I mean, this was lauded as job creation and a very good thing that is happening to South Africa, but I believe only a fraction of that has been caught, and we won't be able to catch it all. Then the minister on the 28th of February also said there were 32 appellants, and that he was going, that he identified for the transformation of the industry. Now to date, those appellants have not been shared with anybody. We don't know who it is. And could the minister enlighten us who those appellants are that he identified? And you know, where is that process? Are they going to be getting their allocation? Then I must talk about the disciplinary process, the reason why our previous report was withdrawn. You know, you read in the media, the DG has made a decision to suspend people, the minister goes to court, tries to stop it, and then stop the disciplinary process, and then he withdraws his application. We don't know as a committee where this is. I don't know if you have been informed where this is, and I mean, without going into the deeper part of the disciplinary, it just shows us that the fisheries department is in big, big trouble. I mean, if the people can't talk to each other, I've seen a document where a person has been found guilty of grand theft in the department and corruption. 155 cases of grand theft. That person stole 3 tons of dried abalone to the value of 7 million rand. We don't know where that money is. The department don't know where it's going to come from. You know, this person was now fired. But in the process, she also implicated quite a lot of people. She was following orders. That's what she said. But now she has to take the fall. Now we read all this in the paper and we get the information and then we don't know what's going on. Please, can you take us in your confidence and tell us? Even if you want a closed meeting, I'm prepared to do that. Just to inform us where this is, because it can't keep going on and keep going on, because you'll have this fight in front of the committee. Everybody wants to hush, 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 wipe it under the table. It's not going to work. I mean, I'm going to make certain statements in the media because I'm going to make my own deductions if nobody talks to me. And I think that will be too damaging to the department from which we will not be able to recover. And I would ask Chairperson to help me and assist me in getting to the bottom of this. It's our job. We can't just not do it. So, Chairperson, I think that is more or less my story. Thank you very much.
Honorable Madela.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, my question. Thank you, Chair. The bulk of what I wanted to ask, I'm going to keep it until next week, Chair. My small Niana concern at this point in time relates to at the slide 25 and 24. Chair, I find it a bit difficult to comprehend the inability of meeting the second quarter targets of 9,891 smallholder producers, Chair. 440 was achieved. Yet we are saying in the MTSF target that we have actually gone beyond that. Manasseh, we said that that target was 80,000. We have in actual fact supported 245. But in this particular quarter we are saying we haven't even achieved half of the quarter target. I mean actually like a third of the quarter target. The same with regard to household support with the agricultural food and production minister, Chair. This is a bit very much concerning, Chair. One certainly wish Comrade DG, DG, that you give us a spreadsheet in relation to where those small holder farmers that have been supported. Chair, not only saying 1,000 in the Western Cape, we want to know where in the Western Cape is it, so that we can do our oversight better, because if one gives us a global figure, we do not know where that 1,000 is. I'm just making this an example. I certainly am very much interested to know on the West Coast, in the Western Cape, in the Karoo, where, in the Overberg, where I'm based, Chair, who are those that have been assisted, Chair? Those are the two things that I wanted to ask, Chair. Thank you.
Honorable.
Thank you, Chair. My first one is on the slide 11, where the fisheries management, I'm worried about that 60%, and also want to have some understanding if this is going to be improved so that it should not be the fate of that that division, because it is the one which is having only 60% there. There might be reasons, but there might be also indications of hope that it could change. And on your slide 15, no, I'm not sure if it's 15, but the DG mentioned that most people do not know what the department is doing there. That's a serious implication. What does it mean that people most people don't know? Because it might mean that most people don't benefit. Because that's a service that is said to them. Not unless maybe we don't have a way of communicating properly what it is there. And the next one, Chair, on your slide 21, on the indigenous goals, my concern there is the sustainability. I had an experience of when I was in the department assisting goats, and I was asking where the goats are. I was told they were in the community, and then the money was spent to treat those goats towards December. January, I was asking where the goats are. The goats had gone for traditional ceremonies. So to me, it needs some sustainability, especially if you talk about the goats and then they are going to be maybe specifically these indigenous goats, and definitely that they will be kept as these indigenous. But I would rather get confidence on the sustainability of the program, because to me it is important also. Now on the smallholder farmers that were supported, maybe this is a clarity only in this one. Why we only mention Limpopo and Mpumalanga throughout the country? The last one is on slide 12, where it is said that 7.1, irregular expenditure to be investigated and consequent management effected. But here it is said it has been investigated by internal audit, a letter, and so on and so on. There's no mention now of the what was mentioned there as consequent management to be effected. You know what happens to that one? Just some clarity. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, honourable members. The issue of the aquaculture bill through the whip, Mr. Maloyi, I think it's one of those bills that the Speaker's office requested the leader of government business to prioritize some of the bills, and because of the time, and as committees, we were asked whether they were looking at the bills that we still have and whether we'd be able to process them. It was clearly that we could not process it because it came very late to the House. So, maybe the sixth Parliament will start with it. The NGEGA issue. We are about to close the term, and we've started this matter with the term, and the term is about to end, and the progress in terms of dealing with the officials that were involved, the processes themselves of transferring the center, at least now transferring the center similarly we're about to finalize. I'm just worried about the pace, DG, in terms of disciplinary processes that we're supposed to have taken. And my knowledge tells me that you the labor relation matters does not go to court before you start them, unless if individuals have taken them to court and then been escalated. But we don't get the report that says, as the DG, the processes of labor relations ends here, and I was interfered, then it has to go to court. The process is not very clear, and I don't know why should the state attorney come in. Is it because there is a dispute from those that were supposed to be taken through? The second issue is on the farm that surrounded NGEGA. We said the department should interact with rural development because those farmers fall under agriculture, even though the land belongs to rural development. We said that the department should interact with the land rural development to assist those farmers and make sure that that land become productive. And I don't get it in your report as part of the presentation. On ARC, I think we must welcome the implementation plan as presented and the progress. But I see some of the deadlines are in December, and now we're in March. But we are not given a reason why it has been postponed. My document. The one for the intervention progress date, consequence management, is ongoing. Due date 14 December 2018 on rate, and I expected to, if you have not met the deadline, you'll then bring another deadline which shows that you have dealt with the matter, or the matter is still outstanding, and you change the deadline. The issue of the system, because it has been the challenge between yourself and Auditor General, I just want to check, as you resolve these issues, are you involved the Auditor General in terms of the system itself? Because if the system would not actually perform certain tasks that it links to, particularly to Auditor General, then we're still going to have a problem. But I've received a love letter, CEO, from one of your official, I'm not sure whether it's official, but it's just a complainant, which will attend to it, because issues that have been raised in that love letters are so serious. I'll take it through the minister, and then we engage on this. And on the progress, just to, on the second quarter report, you see, I know that where you perform, you include the provinces, and which actually trigger a lot of questions from all of us. Like the issue that is raised by Honorable Tap, there are areas where you mention provinces in terms of the performance, but you are not telling us why others they are not appearing. Is it, or you have left us to ask those questions, for us to ask the questions, why is only Limpopo and Mpumalanga, in some other areas, is other provinces excluding others? And it will be very helpful in terms of the presentation of the report, DG, that in areas that you oversight, it should be clear that it's not your performance, but it's somebody's performance. Because we'll ask now, why is not Northern Cape part of the report and all those things? So it will be very helpful where you oversight on those, on the particular program. It should be put it very clear. And the last thing is, it's on, just to take the portfolio committee through the how far are we with the foot and mouth, are we cleaning up, where's the status now, including other. I know we have briefed us on all the diseases that we are faced in, and the program to combat them. If you can just be told which ones are still on, are we still on the danger zone, and what is it that we're doing, and briefly to get the feedback on the poultry industry. What is it that has been done? What has been done? And I know that it's in the last meeting where the task team was supposed to present, the DTI was not here, and they've disowned the report. But the question is, what is it that agriculture can tell us about the poultry industry? And are we going to be able to save it or not? Just briefly, because you know, every now and then when you go out of the meeting, you'll get a question around poultry issues, so that we are able to interact with those that are asking questions.
Thanks.
Maybe before you do that, the issue that is raised by the chairperson of the audit committee, particularly in terms of the conditional grant, I expected that the department should have reflected on that and have a view and a position on the matter. So I think the department should actually go back and look at that and then come back to us, because we've been raising the same challenges and say how do we make sure that we better the system such that these conditional grants are utilized to the benefit of those that wants to work on land. The last issue is on land care programs. I know in the previous MTFS, when the minister presented, there were some projects that the money was rolled over to. And you know, I was so shocked, Minister, to see the program of Rahatla, which was launched by the then President Halema Motlanthe, that this project is still on, has not been finalized. I don't know what's the problem. And it's because from our side, we have not actually been consistent in checking the project on land care. And we would need a full-scale report on those on the project, looking at what Honorable Fandale was raising on the report, say rehabilitation has been done, but there's another side of the report which says things have not been done. So can we get a report on the project on land bank, on land care, and whether do we have a progress in terms of rehabilitation of these areas, all of them, in all the provinces, so that when we call the provinces, we should then start to pick up on that issue. Because I was so shocked to say, this project was launched by Halema Motlanthe when was the president. How is it now still being funded? What is happening with this project? And it's supposed to be a presidential project. So, but it's still not completed, and Halema has retired, and probably even forget. I don't. More probably, if people of Ahatla could have been in the meeting where he was doing the work that was given by Parliament, he was going to be shocked when the people would say that, you know, that project that we have launched here, it has not been completed. So I think without responding to the matter, let's get this thing of rehabilitated. It's not enough. Let's get a full-scale report and the amount that goes into those projects. Thank you very much. DG and the Minister.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think we need to clarify again the issue of the Naizna. There are two kinds of forest in Naizna. It is the natural forest and the MTO. What is banned is the MTO forest. That may not be revived. I wanted to clarify that. But the natural forest is still intact. It has been checked recently. But the one that has been badly banned is the one where their villagers were depending on that forest. On the matter you have raised, whether we are prepared for 2020, will depend on a number of areas, and it concerns me as well as you raise it. But unfortunately, matters like that are difficult to engage without jeopardizing the processes that are taking place. Yes, there was an agreement last week reached between the PSC chairperson to the fact that preferable, more other than dealing with individual cases of perceived corruption, the best would be to have a fully-fledged forensic audit so that you get the full processes. But it seems, notwithstanding that arrangement, other processes have happened to the issue you have raised. I'm sure the DG can give further explanation and clarity on that. On the issue of the appeals, I think Honorable Van Dalem, I will need to also know, because we have been dealing with appeals, we are still dealing with them. So I'm not sure which appealants you are referring to. But I would be happy if I can get the references to say on which fixed piece. You have raised the issue of the 400 tons of large pelagics, which is blue tuna. And I'm sure you can get an answer from the branch on the issue. And I'm sure I'm leaving other issues so that they can be dealt with. Another problem, Mamadela, I think you have articulated the issues, and I'm sure they will be answered to as we go on. And I agree with you, without giving specifics, I received a letter from the province, by the way, of the and raising the same things, that the transformation is so low in terms of land reform in the Western Cape. Can I be able to give? And I said they're raising this question to a wrong person. We don't deal with land allocation. There's another department that does. But of course, we're dealing with the issues of production when that is done. And I'm sure the other issues can be dealt with but I agree with Chairperson the fact that maybe in the next meeting we need to reflect on the report of the audit committee. It's a very key report, because if we don't deal with the issues that they are raising, we may not be dealing. We may think that we're dealing with the. It's like when you just look at a person and think he is sick, and you prescribe a medication, you may give him a wrong medication. You must first do the diagnosis, which they have done. We need, therefore, to come up with measures as how best we can be dealing with that. I'm sure the issues, indigenous groups agree. I think what we are referring to here more is a program, because those goats, if we were to supply enough goat meat to a country like any country in the Middle East or West Africa, we need numbers. We need huge numbers. And I'm sure there are people here who can be able, from the animal health, branch, who can give a thorough reply. Chairperson, I agree with you. The matter of Naha is more key. The last report I got was that there is an engagement as to how that land is being used, but we need to deal with it as to decide under which department. The issue you raised, that it is the Department of Lands, of Public Works, that should determine the allocation of those farms, so that we are clear that the PTOs that have elapsed are either renewed or the form is changed. The report I got from Horst last week was the fact that they are still working. I said to him, it is delaying because this matter has been on the table for too long. Agreeing with you, Labor Relations Act outlines two fundamental principles. One is the principle of consistency, and the principle of making sure that the application of justice is being that unfair. You can have a situation where other employees are charged, but others you need to wait for a determination, as if you don't know what the charge is. I'm sure the department has to give a better answer and act on this, because I agree with you. It was last year that was reported the fact that there was a report by an advocate that determined the fact that there was a situation where an increase of wage was determined by the incumbent. We are supposed to be coming to say, it is how far. The issue of whether lawyers would be involved is a choice of the individuals. It cannot be you depend, because the act, you know that you are applying disciplinary action on a particular transgression. You cannot therefore wait for somebody else to tell you how to charge that person. I don't think that answer is giving, because you have to apply this the dispensing of discipline in a way that is fair, in a way that is transparent, in a way that is consistent.
Thank you, Chair. I think for the sake of time, perhaps let me allow Mr. Ramasodi to do a brief on the FMD and the issue of goats. and Dr. Mwang, so that those issues are dealt with, then I'll come back, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Minister, Deputy Minister, Honorable Members, colleagues. We had presented previously the status around FMD, and what I will be giving would be updates, Chair, on where are we in terms of FMD. The first one is that from the 14th of January, that we have been vaccinating in and around the area. To date, there has been 22,000 animals that have been vaccinated. Most of those are within the protection zone, and we look forward to concluding that exercise in the nearest future. In the meantime, what we are doing is that moving from outside inside, we are also doing surveillance, and the last detection of active FMD would require us to have 28 days before we can declare that area to be a containment zone, which is what we are working towards. Once a containment zone has been declared, then we go to the OIE with hard facts to say this is where we are, so that we can relook at how we deal with that containment zone. Our view is that there would be at least between 5,000 and 10,000 animals that we would need then to release from the free zone once we have determined the extent. A few things that I need to highlight to the committee is that the Minister has set up three committees to deal with this at national level that supported the steering committee. Is the technical team that meets every second Monday just to see from a technical point of view, from the controls, from the management, what is happening. And there is a trade committee that looks at all those markets that are blocked and coming up with ways and means to unblock them in terms of the severity of the trade that you are having. The country that we are currently dealing with that has got most trade is China, in terms of beef, in terms of wool and mohair, in terms of skin and hides. So we are trying to unblock that one. The third committee is around communication, to ensure that there is constant communication with everybody to know what is currently happening with FMD. We, according to the vets and the meeting that was held yesterday, we are steadfastly working towards the containment zone, and touch wood, we hope that we will be able to do that without any further outbreaks. Now, Chairperson had asked, what are the other diseases that you are looking at? The highly pathogenic avian influenza. We have got reports that outline that we're still experiencing sporadic outbreaks, and until such time that we have got the last outbreak, we cannot close off the highly pathogenic avian influenza issues on from that level. The other disease of importance that we are working on with the ARC as lead is the banana bunchy top virus in the Ugu district in KZN. Teams are working there, and very soon we are working on ensuring that there is a political awareness campaign that would happen in the area, because it's carried by people who move suckers around for planting as a source of food security. The last one is the one disease that we know about, is the fall armyworm, where we have determined that it's here to stay, and there are ways and means of having research projects around the fall armyworm in conjunction with the ARC. Chair, there was a question on poultry. I would say that the DTI this year has come up with a program in terms of engagements. I have just raised with them that the first engagement on the 8th of March is just after the portfolio committee would like to have information on this. And we're working on ensuring that that meeting happens before we come to the portfolio committee. But if I've got to scan the environment in terms of the poultry industry, issues have stabilized on the production side. And I think also on the trade side, I think if one looks at the dividends that have been paid from Astra and other poultry-related industries, you suddenly realize that there has been stabilization. The biggest wedge that they had was around feed. And when we had bumper crops, then they started making some money. The other issue that they had raised was the issue around the imports. There were two interventions that were done during that particular period. There has been a safeguard that has been determined to ensure that our poultry industry is protected, and that went through. And secondly, there has been a lot of work that was done around ensuring that those areas that we import from are visited before they are imports into the country. And that was done, Chair. Where currently the poultry industry is having problems, and I think that is an issue around equal treatment, is an issue around the Brazilian imports, where the industry is raising issues to say the current levels at which Brazil withdraws its products from other countries and not doing it in South Africa is very worrying. And we have agreed with that. We are currently in consultation with the Brazilians because there are a few areas that we have picked up where there were salmonella issues that we had to deal with. So we will be making a pronouncement very soon in terms of our own analysis of the consignments that come from Brazil, Honorable Chair. I think the poultry industry, Chair, if you have got to allow me, has got a few issues that we have got to deal with. We produce a quantity that needs to be supplemented by imports. I think to a lesser extent, the 1.7 million metric tons that we produce and supplemented by the imports, we would need to broaden that cake. And this is the issue that I had a discussion with the new executive at the South African Poultry Association of how do we transform the industry. The Department of Rural Development and Land Reform has set aside money in terms of the transformation just to grow that cake, Chair. And we hope that also through the work that we are doing in CASP, we'll be able to then get all the money to ensure that our poultry industry is back on track. But the poultry industry, as I say, Chair, as compared to when Chair had a meeting here, is in a very good environment. I think it's also prudent to also say, Chair, you asked the question when they were here, what does the poultry industry do when they have got a green shoot, when everything is going well? And that question is a question that is permeating to say that everything is going well now, what is that we are doing? And they had made commitments around transformation. The last issue that I had to deal with was around goals by Honorable Kappa. This program goes to each and every program, Honorable Kappa, where we say, what is the indigenous goal per province? You would recall that we had minister went to the Northern Cape to give a Damaraship, and at some stage also goes to the locals. Because what had happened is that we had managed to identify the genetics and then bring it back into production at a broader level. So we are now in Mopani and Vembe districts, identifying, harvesting, and ensuring that we replicate. And this goals will go back to the community. We don't give people who do not farm with those goals. We give people who gave the genetic material back to say that now here, please carry on. Because like Minister was indicating, if there's a growth area in South Africa, it is this area around goals. And I needed just to give that reassurance. This program is in conjunction with the ARC, and there's a lot that is coming out of it. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and thank you, DG.
Thank you, Chair. So I will start first just by giving comfort to you, Honorable Van Dalen. The department is in good shape. It is in reawakening, and I can assure you of that. All the cases are up, including the ones that were identified by IFM, the cases of the unions that were breaking through the minister. We're restoring disciplinary so that we discipline within the department so that we can be productive. There were areas in which people were owning the department. No one can get involved. And that has been continuing. And therefore, I plead that perhaps when I come next week, I come with all the cases and do an update on them. But the issue is justice cannot be interfered. We cannot judge it from here. If it's there, let justice prevail. Let's not judge it. But I will give more details on that. And the department is owned by the farmers, by the producers. And we need to unwrap the concept of, it's my piece, nobody gets here. And that's what we're breaking through. And the law will take its course. But I want to assure you, what you see as chaos is actually the rebirth of new ideas that are focused towards ensuring that customer service excellence prevails. I just want to assure you, sir, on that one. Now, the issue of conditional grants specifically, we did a lot of details. Ria is here. A lot of investigation as to what's going on, and I would like that report to be presented next week, because we have done an investigation on all the provinces. It is worse, and it is dirty. And chair there of the committee, audit committee, they know that. If you look at our financial management, you have fruitless expenditure, irregular expenditure, wasteful expenditure, going all the way back to 2010. People book a hall for 400,000. They cancel it. And somebody condones it. And it's just a repetition of that. He knows it. It is my job to make sure that I look at those things and correct them before somebody else does. If I am in the process of that, let justice say so. Let justice say so. But it is an attempt at making sure that we correct these things. Therefore, the conditional grants in all the provinces have been found wanting. But I'm happy to report in this committee that we now, ministers agreed, we're now appointing the evaluators.
On conditional grants, you are saying the department must go and interact with the report of the chairperson and you formulate the opinion, because the issues that have been raised is from the portfolio committee. If what the chair is raising now, okay. We are saying let the matter go to the department and look at that report, because before it comes here, it was supposed to have discussed and you formulate how you are responding to it. Now we want what is it that is going to be done and in the provinces and in terms of management of those conditional grants.
Okay.
And
I got it. Yes. I got it, sir. I think, therefore, the report that we've presented on Q2 reflects progress that we've done on Q2. For example, if you look at the 9,891 against the achievement of 440, that cannot, in my view, be compared to the MTSF target. The MTSF target and its achievement, which seems great, it talks about the collaborative effort that involves also what has happened in rural development, what has happened through the provinces. This one specifically deals with us in Q2. When you go to Q3, which we have passed already, and to Q4, you may find out that we have actually now decreased the backlog of this target. There were issues that were raised with respect to NECA, and Dr. Mueng has been managing NECA. But I must also report that there is a committee that has been set up by the Deputy President, and he has asked DAF to actually lead that committee. And it deals with the issues of farmer support. It specifically, are we supporting the farmers there? Are we handing over title deeds and all that? So what we will do then is to do a presentation that we already are giving to the DP. I don't know whether you want to ask Dr. Mueng, because you are managing that process.
Honourable Minister and Honourable Deputy Minister, it is true that there is a lot of work being undertaken, by our engineers working with the engineering team of the Provincial Department of Agriculture, which has now become part and parcel of what is happening around the Ngaka farms, and noting the fact that the 10 Ngaka farms, some of them belong to public works, are registered in the name of the public works in the deed search, and some of them are registered in the name of the rural development in the, according to the deed search. And these farms are part of the FALA properties, the financial assistance land, that public works had actually given to agriculture, the then Department of Agriculture, DOA, for preservation of their agricultural potential. And therefore, they are treated as part of the entire FALA properties, which amounts to 73,000 hectares in the whole country. Now, the challenge with those farms of Ngaka is that they are part of this FALA properties that public works has said DAF administer these farms on behalf of public works. But then we are then having this task team, as the DG has said, of experts, especially the engineers, that have now concluded a feasibility study, Chairperson, and the entire feasibility study was for the whole area, both the Ngaka farms, the 10 farms, as well as the farms or the communities that are across under Chief Jongilang. And now we have said now the task team of engineers and experts must now do individual business plans, because the reason why the province has always said they are not able to support those farmers was the lack of business plans and detailed confirmation of the fact that those farms will be sustainable. We have actually gathered through the feasibility study that only one of those farms is able to do macadamia and adjoin the macadamia large production across the road, but the other farms can be used for various other reasons, because the main challenge there is that there is not sufficient water, and the water that is there in the terms of the aquifers is full of sulfur according to the engineer's report. So this now needs additional work to say if one of those farmers wants to venture into an agriculture activity, which type of agriculture activity will benefit them, which is the process that is now underway.
Thank you, Chair. I think I'll hand over back to you, and I take the concern you have about, the concern that you have about the pace on moving on the Ngaka case. I'll take that into consideration.
Thank you, Chair, and honourable members. I think in terms of the question that was raised around irregular expenditure and consequence management, I think the report indicated that they've been investigated and have now since been handed over to HR Labour Relations team to handle them together with CCMA. We have an arrangement, the working arrangement with CCMA, which actually sits and conducts the disciplinary hearings, so that once we're done with that, we don't have to go through a long cycle of appeals at CCMA and so on. It gets concluded, then everything gets done. So the process has now been handed over to that particular team. In terms of the deadlines, Chair, I think it's important that we keep track of what was the original deadline for the audit improvement plan. And the reason we want to keep track of that, we want to know how long it takes to solve a particular problem, but what are the impediments to solve a particular problem. The color coding that we have there reflects the status of the project in terms of the audit improvement plan, and we believe that's adequate for us rather than changing the deadlines. We do keep track, but in any case, our intention, Chair, is to conclude on all the outstanding matters that are still ongoing by the end of March at the latest. In terms of the new AX system, the Auditor General, in terms of the engagement that we've just had with them more recently for the audit that they're going to do, they're going to audit the current old system. And the internal audit will audit the new new live system that will be that will go live in April. With respect to
I think, Chair, I've answered all the key issues that have arisen from the questions so far. Thank you.
Over to you, Chair.
Okay, I'm going to allow honourable members to raise their follow-up questions. So, Minister, the forensic audit, can you clarify which forensic audit you were talking about? Is it the fishery, the entire fishery section? The question that I'm having, there were forensic audits that were made, and there were recommendations, and you have been again constitute other investigation on top of the forensic audit, which actually gave what should be done. Now you are establishing another forensic audit. So I think it must be clear to this committee what is it that we are trying to do, because we are spending money of the people. Because I don't understand what is this forensic audit on top of forensic audit, which is identify issues and maybe before you do that, can you bring the reports to us on what you have done with those forensic audits that we have done in fisheries? Before you do another forensic audit, you must give us a progress report on all the issues that have been raised in the forensic audit of Farovani, that man?
Harrison, Newpool.
All the forensic that you had in that section, bring the progress report of what is it that you have done with the response, that forensic audit, and then why do you need a new forensic? We should be then be convinced now you need another forensic audit to do something else. There must be evidence that you have implemented the other ones, because forensic audit, I suppose, it's not for free. So forensic audit that you have, even including in the department general, you had forensic audit on the conditional grants. There was an audit that was done. There was an audit on the, what is this? On the legal matters, the bills that you have and all those things, 16 million, we found that you have spent 16 million before this committee. So these things were forensic audit, we will not approve them as long as we don't get the gist of what you are going to do about them and those reports. So before you proceed with that forensic audit, let's get the progress in terms of those that you had and the directives, whether you have implemented or not, and if not, why you have not done that. So I just thought I must put this one on record before members can make their follow-up question.
Yes, Chairperson, I think you're talking about two things. When you talk about the Lupin report, it's about the 2016 FRAP allocation process, which was also a problem with. Yeah, the Lupin report, ne? But this other report that the minister or the departmental disciplinary processes is about abalone that was stolen from our stores. It's a totally different issue. So there must be a report on that as well. Our abalone stocks were stolen, which has nothing to do with the FRAP process. The FRAP process I spoke about is the next one that's coming up, 2020. Now, if they have handled all those Lupin report, we must know that process of FRAP 2020 will be right. But we as a committee, and I didn't hear the answer to this, heard that FRAP 2020 will not happen. We heard at the last meeting that it was not going to, it's off track, it's not reaching its dates that it's needing to create. And the MLRF section 18 does not make provision that it can be carried over. So that whole industry will just stop the next day. What do we have in place? That was my question. What do we have in place to make sure that a 10 billion rand industry doesn't just stop tomorrow? I mean, there, you can just think how many jobs that would be lost if that just stops. And then the second thing is about the large pelagic. I did not hear the answer about the bluefin tuna. How much has been landed from the 700 tons that are available, and why, if our tonnage has increased, it's a total allowable effort not increase significantly to make sure that we catch it, because then we're going to lose it. How can we lose it? It won't be a good thing, because it was lauded in this committee also about 2 weeks back that it was going to be like a game changer. We got it now. Now we need to go and take it out, but we can't take it out because we don't have the people to take it out. Who is going to take it out? Why are we losing out on it? Because we'll just hand it back to those people then. So those were the two questions I didn't hear the answer on. Thank you.
The forensic audit on Abalo, people stealing Abalo, I've never heard of that, Honorable Fandal. What if Minister is talking, because my understanding is that the forensic audit must meant to unravel something that is difficult to unravel. But if there is a very clear line cut, why do you want forensic audit to establish that? I understood Minister in the last meeting that we have saying that the Apollon poaching is no longer a departmental issue, must be elevated to include the security cluster. And that was Minister, that is what the Minister reported to this committee, that they are going to include the security cluster will prioritize as part of the ocean economy, dealing with the abalone security and how they are going to handle it. So I want to be clear, because I'm the chair, maybe I need clarity on the forensic, that who's going to pay that forensic for things that are very clear cut and clear.
Yes, Chairperson, on the issue of the theft of abalone and the poaching of abalone, it's two different issues again. The one is where members of the community, they go out and they poach, and then the security forces clamp down on them. Now, after that has happened, a lot of this abalone that is stolen is gotten back. Now, that belongs to the department. We then keep that in a storeroom and dry them. Then we sell it on an auction to outside the world, and they pay us a lot of money for it, this dried abalone, which is the prime abalone. Now, that abalone in the department is stolen out of our safes. Now, this, by the officials from the department, they see it as their own ATM. Now, this is where the disciplinary around that is going. People have stolen our stocks that is in our charge, not in the sea. Those are two different issues. Again, a problem, Chairperson.
No, we agree. So, but doesn't need forensic audit, because this official was arrested by the police with the bag of Apollo, and he must go through the process of court and be sentenced there. So why do you need forensic audit when this person has been arrested? And because I don't want us to lose track of what we want to do with dealing with issues of protecting abalone in the sea, because we said we don't have even enough tools to catch some of these people, because we don't have vessels ourselves, proper vessels to chase these poachers. And me and you, Honorable Fandale, we've never seen the poaching that has been done by a village person stealing two fish as a poach. I think that's one of the things that we are disagreeing. Because if poaching, we mean those that are making money out of it in the large amount of scales. So we don't refer to a village boy stealing five abalone and then you say it's poaching. So that one we are differing, it's not poaching. So I think Honorable Fandale, is it? I was asking the minister the forensic audit. Similarly, you respond on behalf of the minister on what? No, so no, you cannot clarify me. You are not the minister. No, I understand. I understand because I started with the. Those forensic audits, and we unpacked them, and there was a work that was supposed to be done, and there's not been done. So I must be very cautious on any other forensic that must be in place, and using we must appropriate that fund without Forensic audit, they are meant to assist the department. If the department are not being assisted by a forensic audit, you cannot continue pumping money for forensic audit when the department, after they've done that, they are not implementing it. So I wanted clarity from the minister, because the one that has raised the forensic audit. Now you are talking about something that I supposed it was, were presented, and then were told that this is how they are going to handle the issue. Minister, what is forensic that you are talking about?
Thanks, Chairperson. Maybe I need to clarify this. There was a forensic audit that was established, because you have to establish facts before you can even decide on what you need to do on the Wiljaro case. And that audit gave a report that resulted in the case in court with a court judgment. But then last year, We received a whistleblower, I would call it that way, who was claiming that there was a forgery of a system that deals with a particular process the police follow when they want to trap those they believe are in the poaching industry. But then we said, let's verify, because there were questions about the veracity of the very allegation of the person claiming to be a whistleblower. Then we said, let's form, because we don't want to deal with this thing, because it is a web, I agree, it is a web in the industry, in the department. You know, an example, 2 weeks ago, our team fined 90 tons of dry apple, high value, in a store unrelated to the department. We don't use that store, with no papers where it comes from, with no papers as who brought it in that store. When you calculate that up alone, the value is half a billion. And those are things I'm saying you are dealing with. And unfortunately, discipline doesn't sit with me. I can't wake up and say, charge that man. It deals through. It deals with his office. So I'm saying, therefore, for the sake of being clean and be seen, I mean, nobody is to be protected, I agree. But in application of that process, you should be seen to be fair. You should be seen to be doing it in a way, because I don't believe that Apollon, in my view, was kept as a cash cow so that whenever you need money, you can sell, because according to law, no one is allowed to transport fish, especially Apollon. It's like gold. You cannot take gold into the boot of your car and transport it. Where that Apollon is set with, from some is from PE, some is from other areas. But the question is, who the warehouse that received it, under what law did they do? Because it's illegal to keep such an amount. So you deal with Apollo that is stolen internally, my view. You deal with Apollo, and I agree with you, Chairperson. If a person steals two fish, I mean, that may be for live livelihood. But in this case, you have got people who makes it, it's more like the small scale, or not small scale, I'm wrong. No, the guys in the mining industry called the Zamazama. People who go not for to buy bread, but to make a living. And there are towns here known in Western Cape that are built on Apollo. So if we are to defeat that, my view was this, that we need to understand. I don't think those guys can be so bold as to keep Apollo in government stores. People have been killed, in our store. One man was killed last year in November, shot and killed, being a security guard. Our officials were supposed to guard this Apollo, including the whistleblower, by the way, because his duty is to protect the director. But there are not reports of saying why were the instruments to ensure that ICT, because after a breakdown, you need to get TV to say, or sorry, what they call it, a report from your system to say, these people came in this form. So I'm saying this, but you need, therefore, to be thorough in doing that. I mean, I agree with...
So you're saying there is a need for forensic audit for that process?
That process.
Oh.
And I believe the funds that are derived from Avalon theft, I made this point, we are not going to keep Avalon. We're not in the business of selling Avalon for administrative purposes. All that Avalon should be kept, should be processed, should be sold in a way that is going to benefit the people from which I agree with that we need to have a coordination between our department, defense, and the police and justice, because we need to revitalize the green courts. So people who are caught cannot be tried in any position. You know, when you are caught, even if you are poaching, they will charge you for trespassing. When you are carrying abalone. So what I was saying is that the reason we said, don't target three or four employees. Because you cannot claim it is them who keep nine tons of abalone, is a lot of abalone. You have harvested, I mean, it equals to 9,000 kilograms in kilos. Its value is about half a billion. So it means, therefore, that if you are dealing with shallowly, or not dealing with this, and we agreed then that there will be a specific team that must look at who are the people internally involved, whom are they selling to, what is the modus operandi that they are using in doing this. So that we know, I agree with you, we know some of the officials in the department who are a law unto themselves. We have threatened even people who are doing, appeals, who would go in there with cameras. They're still working, no charges. And I'm saying appealing for is, if you want to implement discipline, be seen to be doing it evenly. Because, you know, the question you asked, Mr. Pandale, if you ask me now, I doubt if we'll be able to be ready to deal with FRAP 2020. It is being disrupted. Because if you deal, I'm not saying, I'm saying that when you apply justice, you can imagine if I'm known or I am believed to be corrupt or involved, but I must go and give evidence. I'm saying that this matter is one. I'm saying this, that we can deal with the cases, but we will be running a department that. Second thing is the issue of personnel in that branch. You hardly have people work full time. You are working people forever active. It weakens it.
Okay. Honorable Mandela, want to speak on this matter?
Chair, just to remind you, you identified Honorable Van Dalen and me. No, I
wanted the minister to clarify that.
I observed the dialogue that took place that shouldn't have been, Chair. My only worry, I think the Minister is absolutely correct. There needs to be an in-depth investigation, a forensic investigation there. Because there's no way that 9 ton of abalone could be kept in a departmental store with no one knowing. Because it says clearly, and I'm saying with respect, that the rod goes up to the top. But there has to be collusion, there has to be some kind of protection, Chair. Also, the point that I wish to make, Chair, is that we cannot, Honorable Minister, we cannot say, let us not do anything. Anyone who transgressed, who subjected him or her to misconduct in the department, those people must be allowed to continue because there's going to be a forensic investigation. Where there's a prima facie case of misconduct, that should be acted upon, DG, with no fear or favor. That is what needs to happen. People must be seen that if you act wrongly, you are indeed held accountable. Say, consequence management, it starts there. That is what needs to happen, Chair. This department has a very, very, how could one say, throughout the Western Cape, this department is seen as a corrupt department, Chair. And I must say with respect, Honourable Minister, it goes right to you. The community out there, some people are saying, because they believe is all these things can't happen if the DG, the minister is not involved, and the sweeper, I'm talking about the lowest to the highest, Chair. And they may be wrong completely, you know, but it's precisely because this thing is continuing now. Even before you became the political principal here, Minister, these things were happening there, you know. So I think I agree, but I'm appealing that we should not wait. When there's a prima facie case, DG, it has to be taken care of, Chair. Those were the things that I wish to say. Yes, the report states there has been progress made because of the joint operation, but what has happened now, poaching has been shifted from the sea to the departmental warehouses. You know, this is where poaching is happening now, Chair. And indeed, from where I come, the poachers are led by gangsters. Criminal syndicates are involved there. And indeed, they wouldn't hesitate to take anyone out, Chair. So indeed, this is a matter that has to be dealt. Even, I would imagine, Minister, the NIA should also get involved in this. Thank you very much.
Honorable
Mandela. Yes, Chairperson, I would agree totally with Honorable Mandela. And I just want to say also that we've just heard that FRAP 2020 will not happen. Do we have something in place in the meantime so that the industry don't come to a stop? I didn't hear an answer to that. I mean, these things are all happening. What are we going to do? Are we just going to sit and wait until the time comes and then all those permits lapses? I mean, what are we going to appoint an external person to do all the work if it can't be done in the department? What are we going to do? We can't just let a 10 billion rand business and all those people's jobs go to waste. I mean, that would be very sorry.
DG, thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. And I will quickly respond directly to this issue and the matter of the southern bluefin tuna, as well as the issue of the appeals and the large pelagics. Although I'm tempted to touch the abalone issue, I think let me stay away out of it because I will expose people sitting around this table. Chairperson, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members.
That statement is out of order, because if you have to talk, you must talk. But they don't come.
Thank you, Chair. My apology, Chair. I am one of the people that are charged for the abalone, and this is the difficulty that I'm having. And being charged for abalone by people who are involved in this half a billion abalone that is stashed somewhere that is not registered, and these are the lead people in my very own case that are involved in this matter, begs to leave a question of whether this prosecution that is being done, I call it prosecution that is being done on myself, on Nazima and on Temba, was it not a decoy to shift the focus where it really is supposed to be? I'm really sorry. It makes me very emotional. These are our names that are being put out. It's a reputational damage that is being done to us. I cannot stop, DG, please.
DG, you know, it doesn't help this meeting, because these issues were supposed to have dealt with by your department. And I'm looking at the DM and the minister in this regard, that the processes to deal with the issues of fisheries, including the issues that Sipokas is raising, was supposed to have dealt with. That's why I'm very cautious on forensic, because I must not understand what this forensic is going to do, and what is this forensic going to help, because the same people who must firstly appoint the forensic and implement the forensic are said to be implicated. So that's why I'm saying, what this forensic is going to help us on, except because I was thinking that the national team that has been established through the Operation Pakisa, led by the presidency, that's my thinking, including the NIA, including the security cluster. If the matter of Abalon is being elevated to that level, will then deal with the problems that the department has faced. So, but if you are saying forensic, you know, there are a lot of forensic that are done in the department, which I can tell them, go and do them, and when you come to this side, this don't touch it. Go this way. So that's why I wanted to understand what this forensic is going to help us about. But if now the implication, Honorable Mandela said, Minister, you're implicated. Did DG say people on the table, which includes which might be you guys because we are working together. So this forensic, is it going to help us, and who will then be appointing this forensic? Because it's very important. So that you have to deal with the problem, uproot the problem. Then we should actually put it in to the correct people to deal with that thing. So that's what I was asking about. But let me, DG, respond to those other questions and the issue of Abalone. But is not within us as a parliament. We can say minister and DM and DG, you do not continue forensic. We hold our view that there's been forensics that has been done and you have not implemented them. If now you are doing this forensic, there must be commitment and convince Parliament that indeed the outcome of that forensic will be implemented. And how it's going to be done, we'll have much more interest to know how the department is going to do those things. So it's not upon us to say, stop here. If the presidency, obviously, there is a process to appoint forensic audit. If they have been they've approved it and it's been approved, the department could continue with it. But as Parliament, we have our own view that there's been several forensic audits that has been done in that department. And the outcome of those forensic audit never been implemented. So because it's even for the sake of this parliament, because we don't want to hear tomorrow it will come here and say, even maybe on the table it might even referring to members of parliament. So we are not even sure about that thing. So that's why I say it's important to clear these things, because if you rush approve audits, forensic audit, without understanding what is happening. And by the way, this Honorable Mandela, probably you would have heard it somewhere, is for the first time being presented that we have lost another apple. In the now.
It happened only
a week ago. So I'm just saying we should not, and then if Minister had presented that since we have started this process, now there's been these issues, we feel there is a need for going another process. It was going to be a very different thing. So, but this thing of Abalone, we lost it now. We've just heard it for now. No, Minister. We've stopped Sipogazi. I want her to finish. But can you leave outside the Abalone stories and respond on the Blue Tuna and what? And the process of 2020? And then we'll then deal with the matter outside that way.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. Section 81, Honorable Van Dalen, gives the Minister a space for exemptions. So what would usually happen, for any reasons given that the rights are not ready to be allocated, the Minister has a prerogative of invoking Section 81 of the Act, which is exempting people from holding rights. So there is not going to be a stop should we not allocate. It will simply be an activation of Section 81 providing those exemptions. But yes, the issue is that if a right was 15 years, you cannot be able to extend it further unless the minister evokes that Section 81. So I think we need to give assurance there. What are we doing to be to ensure that we are going to be ready to allocate the right? It's a difficult one because the issues are multiple. They are very complex. And the issue of capacity, just but one of them, the issues of the delays, is just but it's a combination of things. But we are not going to be completely too far out of time because remember, these rights are expiring in 2020. And the first sector expires in June of 2020, and the fishing season only starts in November of 2020. So we are going to prioritize those rights that will be starting in 2020. The rest are only starting in 2021, January of 2021. So we're going to try to see how we can fit all of this with the capacity that is legal that we are having. We will try to really construct the ship while we sail, all things being equal. On the issue of the southern bluefin tuna, Honorable Van Dalen, I need to explain this, that southern bluefin tuna is not a fishery on its own. So there is no type of gear you go to sea and you only target southern bluefin tuna. It's tuna and tuna-like species. So you set out your line, it may catch tuna, may catch yellowfin, may catch big eye, it may catch albacore, it can catch other species. So we don't necessarily have gear in any part of the world that targeted SBT. But SBT fleets only target them when they happen to notice them moving in a school, then they try to get them all once in a school. So there is a variety of challenges that we have in South Africa that limits our capability in catching the tuna. The first one is that we are currently not the only ones who can't land all their southern bluefin tuna. All CPCs, all countries are experiencing this. We suspect it's related to environmental variabilities because tuna is a highly migratory species. This week can be in South Africa, next week it can be in New Zealand, the other week it can. So it's highly migratory. So we guard it when it comes within our waters. So every country has been reporting a few migration of the SBT within their waters. That's the first thing. The second issue relates to the issue of subsidies. In South Africa, the fishing industry is not subsidized. That's why Japan, Korea, China come as far as outside of Durban to catch, because their governments heavily subsidize them in fuel, in crew levies and fees and everything. We don't have that in South Africa. So our operators are really struggling with fuel prices. And the nature of the tuna fishery is that it's one of the fisheries you will steam your vessel and go, and you may not find it. And you have wasted on fuel, you have crew on board that you must pay, and you are not subsidized. Then it becomes a problem. The third challenge that is related to this relates to capacity. We don't have tuna specific vessels in South Africa. They are very few. Those that are few can only catch within our EEZ. And the tuna that is within our EEZ, exclusive economy zone, is not that of a top quality that will sell at high prices in the export market. You have to go outside into the high seas. Our vessels are less than 35 meters that we are having of the operators. So you really need really big vessels that have a freezing capacity of about minus 68 degrees. So those don't come cheap. A used one, you can get it if you are lucky at 15 million perhaps. That's why the Mozambican government took a decision to build a fleet of tuna, albeit that they did some things wrong. I mean, this is a story that is outside in the world with the Minister of Finance, former Minister of Finance in Mozambique. Mozambique currently now being prosecuted. But it was a government decision when they saw the need that we need to develop a fleet that is designed to catch the tuna. And until we do those things, unfortunately, we'll fall apart. However, what we are doing meanwhile, we are requesting minister to, it's something that is still going to go to the minister's table, that minister gives an exemption to allow foreign vessels to get into our waters to assist the current right holders so that they can catch the fish. There is there's two discussions around this. The local operators feel that if you allow too many foreign vessels, it limits our capabilities and capacities and we don't develop our own capacity. But at the same time, the reality, as you say, if we sit with this fish and we don't catch it, we may lose it during the next allocation in the RFMOs. So we need to balance those two views while we allow the local capabilities so that we can invoke this. The last one relates to the issue of skill. Tuna fishery is not a fishery where you can just wake up, you are a new entrant and you go. It needs a proper skipper. He's here, he knows quite very well about these things. You need a very skillful skipper who can know where to go to find the tuna. Even when you find a school of tuna, how to catch it and to make it that it does not bruise, because once it bruises, then it loses the value of that. So it's a combination of all of those things, and we are really rethinking how we need to package the whole thing, including bringing PTI and other funding agencies to see if the availability of funds and money cannot be made. Even if it is found, you still need proper skill in terms of the skippers. As I say, the captain of that vessel needs to be properly skilled. The crew in that ship needs to be properly skilled. So we are really trying to look within this hybrid of joint ventures with the foreign vessels. If we can be able to build over time a transfer of skills enabling us as South Africa, that in 2 years, 3 years down the line, we are able to do these catches ourselves.
We don't have skills in our country to do that at all.
Unfortunately, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, we don't have very few. That we, and as I say, what we have is people that can catch within the EEZ. We don't have people that can go out into the high seas and catch. And the most valuable tuna and where South Africa needs to go is outside of our EEZ to go catch there. That's where the bulk of the tuna is, and that's where the best of the tuna is.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable members, I just want to make one point, and let me say the comments which have been made by the honorable members are welcome, and you should follow up on them and come and report on them. But what is obvious, I think, from DDG's POGAS, it's very clear that whenever the issue of fisheries come up, it's a very emotive issue. There is a deeper problem, and sometimes it even goes to personalities, and which makes the area very, very much dysfunctional, whereas there are so many challenges in that area. So I accept that there are things that really need to be done just to deal with the governance of that section. But having said that, I also want to add this one, that despite the processes that are taking place, whether it's forensic taking place in the department and so on, anybody has got who knows about criminality there has got a duty to go and report it to the police. It can't be the question of the processes. Department will have its own processes, but when there's an issue of criminality, I think it's an incumbent upon all of us, or a person who's not, in fact, is legally bound to go and report any criminality to the law enforcement agencies. I think that's very important. Now that it has been brought to our attention, I think we will definitely expect that colleagues do and report any criminality, whoever is involved and so on. You go and report that to the law enforcement agencies.
Let me report that since we gave, and I think that we will remove the abalone from our own stores, so that we're not tarnished in the whole process, as Honorable Mandela is saying, that the perception out there, the perception cannot stop. What we can stop is true actions. We have transferred all the dry abalone from our stores. And the wet abalone is difficult, it's like a meat in your fridge. You can't just take it, you must put your fridge off for some days. This one that we found is not in our store, we must clarify that. It was in one of the warehouses at the harbor. Somebody we don't have an agreement with to keep any fish species. Or if he does, he doesn't. Even if he does, he should have a paper. Second clarification, you know, I think the day we began to deeply understand how this abalone or poaching functions, there are very few people who can claim in the system to be clean. An example, a charge is laid against somebody who was supposed to deal with abalone management and all that stuff. The following day, that guy is carrying a photo of the dockage in his cell phone to show that you can do what you like, I don't care, I have got people. It's not that we have not done what you are saying we should be doing. We have reported these matters to all the state agencies. I'm telling you, we know we have done that. You know what triggered that is simple. When this whistleblower came, whistleblowers fall under Section 7 of the Protectors Act. So they are protected. You can use their evidence unless that evidence has been declassified. But I'm saying, therefore, we are not negotiating that charges should not be carried. We're saying, in doing that, make sure that you don't damage the other cases pertaining. You are seen not to be selective in dealing with the individual in question. You broaden your scope so that by the end you finish, everything is done. And therefore, I want to say that we have done what we should be doing. By the way, we will be launching the fund that will be used in strengthening the protection of the ocean. There's money that has come in. We will be using any other fund from sale of abalone. That is going to be done immediately. Treasury clarifies that money. So the aim is to make sure that we empower the communities. I had a meeting with them last week, and they agreed with me, and they said to them, if there can be a forensic audit that points at me, and I'm sure me and the DM, we don't stay close to, or do we have any link to anybody, I can say that. But it must be that forensic audit must prove that we are clean. If we have any apple in our pockets, we should be part of those what they are doing. But I can assure that the DG, we are committed in fighting this poaching because it steals from the communities. It deprives them of a livelihood. And therefore, I think that we will be coming with a report. But I can assure you, the reason there have been no cases in court is the collusion. Those who are supposed in the police system to be dealing with cases of abalone theft, if you know when they give you 7 tons of abalone, you should, I know now that when they give 7, a bigger tonnage is going out. This one is just to fool you to think that you have been able to catch, but the rate at which abalone is being stolen, really, 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 if we don't take drastic steps, I think the campaign on rhino poaching is more in abalone because you steal abalone because abalone is not like other fish species. It is on rocks. Those who can go in and dive, harvest it. But if the department can make sure that, I mean, we know in the oil reports, the report of Harrison pointed the then acting DDG to have been complicit in some of the atrocities. Where is he still working? I'm saying you need, therefore, to show that you are really committed. Don't pick and choose when you apply discipline. Be thorough on it, be seen to be effective, so that those who commit crime can know that it is being dealt with.
Thank you, Chair. You know I'm always cautious about your time. I know it's your time. My appeal here is that Minister and DM manage
their processes in a way that when the department, when they come to the department and to the committee to report, it must be a department reporting to the committee. And they should always remove anything that is going to be contradictory in part of the report, because that does not assist the committee. I'm appealing on that part because, see, there are these issues which are always, which are sometimes come on the media. Maybe sometimes the chair is supposed to give a ruling that because this item is on the media, that it isn't this, maybe we won't touch it. Or they will say, because of this, we won't report on this part until ABCD has happened. I'm not happy about this atmosphere. I think I'm recommending, begging with the minister and DM to thoroughly guide this process to assist us. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Chairperson, I also would try to assist maybe in a way forward. Don't we have powers to have an inquiry or ask people to give evidence to the committee without fear or favor, like a commission of inquiry or a committee of inquiry? I think the public enterprises did that quite effectively to deal with the ESCOM problems, to bring that open. I mean, there's nothing like sunlight to expose it and to air it and to cure it. I think we do have powers like that, and we can invoke them, and then we might be able to assist in the matter. We can't just hope it will go away and other people will deal with it. It's not the first time that what happened here today happened, and then every time we say, no, you can't talk about that, or you shouldn't talk about that. But I mean, it leaves a sour taste in my mouth. I would like to help wherever I can and to get to the bottom of it. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm begging your assistance.
No. Honorable Sandel, we have powers as Parliament to have our inquiry, but we must be convinced that there is a need for that. And that's why I was asking questions, for us to be able to understand to what that move, if it has to come, if it has to come. But for now, I don't see the department that has failed to play its role that which demand us to have the inquiry. So they've been doing very well. The only thing that needs to be done is to deal with the matter that is facing them, and which is mainly between the minister and the minister in particular, because DM will just zokufaka nje because we deputize a minister. But the real issue is between the minister and the DG. So far kanje because you deputize, and we are honest but we know that the problem has been between the minister and the DG. And from the committee. And we have been, you, Minister and DG, every now and then promise that now we are on top of issues we are working towards resolving, we're closing the gaps amongst ourselves. And please, honorable members are asking you to convince them. But from the side of the committee, because you are now introducing forensic, nobody should be suspended and leave the department because everybody must answer the question. I think we must act like that. Those that are involved in the process, nobody must go, must be suspended accidentally or whatever and leave without responding to that, to the questions. If there is audit, if there is forensic audit, so nobody should leave. And so that this matter can be resolved before we go to the 6th Parliament. Because we will have our own recommendation to the 6th Parliament, but we are giving you... This matter, is, for me, is not out of hand. You can still deal with it as long as you don't put your personal interest in the matter of the government. You know, government is an institution of the people, not for individuals. You are given responsibility to lead at a particular moment. And if you don't want to lead, you leave the space other people to lead, because this belongs to people. So I think that should be understanding. And the modus of operandi of all of us is based on the there is a legislation that guides us, there is constitution, there is the powers that each one of you has been delegated. And if you then have a problem even contesting the powers, then that's where the problem is. And it will left us to take other decision as a committee towards the sixth parliament. But we want to appreciate that at least now you are going inside. If you are able to find those Apollon seated somewhere, it's a progress that it's something that is leading us towards arresting those that are the syndicate itself. Because it's very clear it's a syndicate, and therefore for you to be able to deal with the syndicate, appoint proper people to handle the matter, but nobody should go on leave unless if there is a death. Nobody should these funny excuses with the public service, you know them. I don't have to repeat them. There are a lot of funny excuses that can be done. And then in the next, towards the end of the our term, Albertina will then actually get the feedback in the terms of the progress, so that we are able to make our legacy report must have a clear recommendation. Close it better? Okay, thank you very much. Honorable Madela.
Just a small matter, Chair. I wish to support wholeheartedly what the DG officers have said in relation, and this is how I interpret it, in relation to building the capacity to harvest blue tuna. Chair, Honorable Minister, I think the whole issue of the cooperatives should be extended here. DTI and economic development must come to the party, finance the purchasing of such a vessel, assist with the training, building capacity internally. It's not a good reflection on us that we say 25 years we do not have the capacity to do this, Chair. So I certainly want to appeal that we must fast track this particular process. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. The last question is on the, you know, the last time when we get the feedback on small-scale fisheries, we were told that the Western Cape was still having a problem. Can we check how far are we and are we winning?
Thanks. I want to report that we are winning because processes now are unfolding. Hopefully we will be able before April, when the start of the new fishing season along the coastal area, allocate fish species to all the co-ops starting from Northern Cape. They've already received. We're in KZN, I think, very soon. We will come back to the Western Cape. I have been meeting almost weekly with the fishing communities, reporting and explaining the process of the small-scale fisheries, so that people in the coastal areas can have a right not only to watch and expect to be employed, but to participate in the economies of the fishing industry through the allocation of fish baskets. Further, one of our officials who is running this program has developed an app through which fishermen are able now to cut the middlemen. As they go to fish, they link up with those who, with restaurants where fish is served, and they sell as they fish. That has improved their income because they have cut off and they are able now to make a good livelihood, which I believe it was if well managed. And I agree with Honorable Madela. We cannot hope that the issue of a foreign vessel will be sustainable. But we may acquire it, but in the long run, we need to build our own capacity internally. Let me apologize to the committee for raising these things, but if next week the staffing in fisheries, the DG has confirmed now, can be filled in all, because we are sort of staffing in that area. That every staff, I mean, even in areas like your supply chain management, Look, you're not there to have people who are acting, because it is a key strategic position, because it determines your interaction with those who are your service providers. I hope by when we come next week, we should be saying the vacancies have been advertised, because fisheries have been working with very thin staff, and yet fisheries is highly in need of skilled people. You can't just grab any port and say, you are tomorrow a scientist, you are tomorrow that. You need your highly skilled. We need to cut this, you know, in one time, you know, but those are things I think we need to come back and report on. But again, on the issue of why do we bring, you know, I can assure you, it would be very important.
Minister, you are not supposed to respond to the issues of Honorable Klapa.
I'll leave that one.
Honorable Klapa is very clear.
I'll leave that one.
And which is procedure. He's talking about the procedure. Department respond as a department. And we've been clarifying who actually account to Parliament. So I think that's what the Honorable Papa is raising. So the other things, Minister, go into your offices and sort them out. Because, you know, when the issue of employment, I know there are categories, delegation of powers. And ministers are supposed to know I've delegated the powers to appoint a parking officer to somebody there who must do the job. It doesn't have to come here. Because the officer in fishery cannot be appointed by, if the delegation, obviously it must not be in the office of the minister and in the DG. They must go to director or somebody else. I'm just giving examples. These things should not be an issue, Minister, that you can look at your act and be able to say who is responsible. The delegation is with who? Because it's your delegation of employment, Minister. So we want us to remind you, and now I want to ask DG, our president, and it becomes embarrassment to ask Minister. Go and look at your act and say, I've got powers of employment of the staff in DAF, and I've delegated the powers, these powers to DGs for this level of management. I've delegated to this level of so on and so on. And those shortages, if you have agreed with Treasury, because we must be very clear ourselves, that Treasury, we had the minister complaining about the wage bill. We had the Minister of Public Service. If there is agreement with those three ministers, it shouldn't be a problem. You make that agreement with the two ministers, finance and public service, then you get people to do the work in fisheries. I think that was the last issue on the second quarter report. And thank you very much, honorable members. DTG Fisheries, it will help you to contain yourself, because even if you have a better case, your emotion might destroy your case. So please contain yourself and know where to raise issues in which forum, because the issue was not belonging here. I just thought I must raise it because I would leave a wrong message of this committee, because somebody, the other DGs might come here and want to raise the issues here. So it's very important. If it's something that you feel approached, you can approach the office of the chair alone. You can approach the office of the minister or Honorable Klapa if you feel you can resolve the matter. If it's parking, inside is your bottles, you cannot, because you nearly collapsed our meeting, which is something that is not right, DG. thank you very much, honorable members and the team for department, you can leave us. Thank you very much. No, the team from the department.